Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. My name is Claire Lyons Devon, and you are listening to the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Tonight, I have with me Mr. Glenn Greenwich and Mr. Jerry Thomas, who's in our oxygen room. Good evening, Glenn. How are you?
I'm doing great. And how are you doing?
Oh, I am doing fabulous. Fabulous. Having a wonderful Sunday afternoon. Still trying to get some things together here, but I'm going to keep moving forward here for a minute. And if you could just talk about the talk show and when we air.
Sure. Our show airs at 8 p.m. every Sunday night. That's Eastern Standard Time. And our call number is 646-716-9827. That's the International Black Summit Talk Show Network. Our website is blacksummit.org. And what we do is every week we have guests that come on to the show. And we really talk about the International Black Summit and what's going on.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. And, you know, for everybody who's new out there to the Talk Show Network, we have come together for a summit event the first weekend in August every year since 1991. And 2010 marks the 20th year reunion for our summit event. If you've been joining us for the last few weeks, we've been talking about the count-up to this 20-year reunion of the International Black Summit. And in our 20-year reunion count-up, we've revisited the places we've traveled for the annual summit event since it first began in 1991. We've talked about the inquiries, the questions, and the declarations that we've engaged in at each of the events. And summit participants have shared their summit moments, which has been my favorite part of the show, and those moments that have made the summit memorable or impacted their lives in some way. It's been really, really remarkable. So we have participants from around the world. And they found that the International Black Summit has been an empowering experience. You know, it's been an experience that fosters personal breakthroughs, an experience that creates energizing and lasting relationships, and it's been an experience that promotes community transformation. So I'd just like to invite any participant from the past who've attended the summit since 1991 to come out to our 20-year reunion in Baltimore. I'd like to invite new folks to join us for the 20-year reunion in Baltimore. And the dates again for the summit, Glenn, are Thursday.
August 5th through August 8th, which is that Sunday.
Okay, awesome. Awesome.
And that's going to be in Baltimore, Maryland. And it's the first time we're going to be stateside in the last 2 years. So last year we were in London, England, and the previous year we were in Anguilla, West Indies. So this is the first time in 2 years we're going to be stateside. So those of you who have been holding back, now's the time to regroup, to check it out, and to make plans to meet us in Baltimore for a fantastic event.
Awesome, awesome. And as Glenn said, you can go to our website, blacksummit.org, to get more information about the annual event to register. Again, that's blacksummit.org. Also, as part of our 20-year reunion, our host team is producing a commemorative booklet. And if you'd like to place an ad, if you'd like to congratulate the summit on our 20 years of existence, if you'd like to share your personal testimony of what the summit means to you, or if you'd just like to advertise your business, you can go to the website at blacksummit.org to get the details of how you can submit your information for the commemorative booklet. Again, tonight we're going to be talking about the count-up to the 20-year reunion, and we will be revisiting what we call our international tour, and that's when the summit was held in Canada in 2002, in Brazil in 2003, and in Ghana in 2004. So if you have something that you'd like to share about Canada, Brazil, or the Ghana summits, the call-in number is 646-716-9827. If you just want to listen to tonight's show, you can listen to the show over the web on our website at blacksummit.org. So you go to the blue player that says talk show, and you click on the player, and the show will come up. Or you can call into the oxygen room, and that number is 218-862-6420, extension 797-4834, pound. Again, that number is 218-862-6420, extension 797-4834, pound. And that number is also on our website. So if we were going a little bit too fast, you can pick up the number from the website at blacksummit.org. But before we get into the show, Glenn, can you share with our listeners the purpose of the International Black Summit and our declaration?
Certainly. The purpose of the International Black Summit is to provide an opportunity for participants to bring into being their vision for the black community and the world. The declaration of the International Black Summit, we declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. Today's date is July 18th, 2010, Queens, New York, Jamaica, New York. And we're going to have a moment of silence by starting out with above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you.
Awesome, awesome. I just want to send a note out to the team. We're still having difficulty with the switchboard. But for our guests who are calling in, hold on tight with us, please. We're trying to get the switchboard up so we can bring you into the call. The declaration always really, really moves me. There's just so many facets to it. And each annual event, for those of you who are new listening with us, results in a specific question or a declaration that participants engage in throughout the year. So we engage in one question or one declaration until the next summit annual event. And this year, the specific declaration that we're engaging in is, I am the source of my vision. I am the source of my vision. And tonight we're talking about the Canada, Toronto, Ontario summit, which was in 2002. The Salvador de Bahia, Brazil summit, which was in 2003, and the Elmina Beach, Ghana summit, which was in 2004. and the 2002 summit in Canada, the question was, what is available in noticing all that I create that keeps me unconscious to the wonder that I am? And when we went to Brazil, we switched from, you know, being in questions to moving into declarations. And that was, I am complete on who I know myself to be. I declare that dot, dot, dot. And you got to fill in the blanks. And then for the 2004 summit in Ghana, the declaration was, I am complete on whom I know myself to be. I declare that I am enough. Glenn, were you at any of those summits?
Yes, I was at Brazil and Toronto.
Awesome.
I was actually one of the boys of Brazil that actually went down early to the boys. The background on the boys of Brazil was Oren and Bill Patterson and myself. And since we had been to Brazil before, we were clear that we had a mission to go down there early and to kind of stir things up and to really look at the possibility of having people participate fully. And we were accompanied by Valami and Susan Shelton. And we went down about 2 weeks prior to the annual event and had a prerequisite early, and then had another event, then had the annual event there. So we really were there to set people up, to really establish some of our travel advisors, our translators, get them trained and orientated so that we could begin the complex conversation of translation of the International Black Summit in Brazil, given all the different languages and the dialects and, you know, all the other things that were going on.
Yeah, Brazil was pretty phenomenal in terms of the language. We had, about 300 to 400 people at the event, and the majority of the people spoke Portuguese.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the interesting thing about the event is that we had people who spoke Portuguese. We had people who spoke French. We had people who spoke Spanish, and there were moments when we would translate. Clearly, we were translating mostly from English to Portuguese. But there were times when we needed to translate to Spanish and then back to French to communicate to people that were in the room. So everybody got included in the translation. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, and what was interesting too, we break into, you know, groups of five people, smaller groups of five people. And within the smaller groups, there was we had translators in the front of the room because you can go to a mic, you know, to interject your comment and interact with the facilitators. But also within the individual groups, people were designating themselves as translators. So if someone who, you know, like you said, spoke Portuguese also knew English, then they would translate for, you know, the group back and forth within the smaller group. So it was really very, very phenomenal. Just like one of the things I'm present to in the summit spaces is language is never a barrier. You know, it's never, ever a barrier. And I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you know, the other thing that showed up for Brazil for me was the people engaging in the conversation of being from Black African descent. You know, one of who we are as International Black Summit is a group of people, descendants of from Black African descent, and that's our only requirement for people to participate. And there were people who were there who were acknowledging their African ancestry that didn't necessarily look African or African of African descent, but clearly were clear that the origin that they came from was that. And it provided for a very rich, a very cultural, a very rich and cultural event that certainly couldn't have been delivered back in the States. Brazil is very colorful and it's got the cultures, and so the actual event was representative of where we were in a lot of ways.
Yeah. That's actually a good point that you brought up, because I wasn't aware until I went to Brazil how similar our histories are between, you know, Brazilians, and it's really of African descent, and also Americans who, we had our slavery issue where Africans were brought to the Americas, and the same thing was going on in Brazil and other countries as well. So there's like this parallel thing going on between the histories of the two countries. And I think it's interesting because there's a lot more, what do you call it, mixing of people. So as you say, you can't really tell by looking at someone what's the basis of their ethnicity is. So that was like one component. And then the other component that was really strong was the whole spirituality issue. You know, the Oshans?
Orishas.
Yeah. Like, that's really powerful. When we went on the tour, and that's something I also remember about the international tours, we went on tours of the different locations, and we actually toured a lot of grave sites. A lot of places where, you know, like their spiritual energy, or their, we might call it in the States, religious energy, but there it's more of a spiritual energy. And Brazil, overall, I got such a sense of peacefulness while I was there, you know, just like watching the fishermen on the ocean, and they're on these boats, and they're standing up, and the boats are really skinny, like long banana boats. And they are just in sync with nature, you know, and the boat's rocking and everything else is rocking, but they're just calm. There was this energy. Same with traffic in the roadways. There were no lines on the roads, and people were just kind of wherever there was a space, people would move into that space with their cars, and it was very calm, and it wasn't a lot of horn blowing or, you know, anger or cutting off. It was just flowing. A lot of flowing energy. So Brazil has this very peaceful kind of flowing energy to it that I really enjoyed. And I saw it in, you know, the expression of the language, because there wasn't breakdown there. You know, I saw it in the transportation or the movement of people, the music. Oh, my gosh. Brazilian music is just amazing. And as we talked about on the last show, music is a very integral part of the summit experience. So our Thursday night event, I forget the name of the place, Glenn. What is it called? It's in the center of town.
Pellegrino Square.
Yeah. We were in Pellegrino Square, and I seriously felt like we were VIPs. We had a reception at a business. One of the businesses hosted us there for the reception. And then they had the drummers and the dancers and the martial arts. Was it Caprina?
Yes.
Yeah. They were doing the martial art dance in front of us and behind us. and we actually marched down through the town going to the main square, and they had the television, and Billy, who was our host coordinator at the time, had set up this phenomenal concert for us. But before the concert, we got to speak to, you know, all of these Brazilian people about what the International Black Summit was, you know, what we were about, kind of the history of the summit. And then the party started and the music started and the food, and oh my God. It was the most amazing experience. Just the flow of it. It was incredible.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I want to kind of bring to our listeners. Two things. One is that Brazil is a very big country, and Salvador da Bahia is really where the slave ships from the European slave ships, mostly from Portugal, but other European countries, entered South America in Bahia. So Bahia has more African culture than the rest of Brazil. So if you go to Rio, Rio is very much a big city, and it's much lighter skinned. As well, if you go into southern Brazil, it's very German and European. So Bahia was the focal point, and we really felt strongly about having it in Bahia. The other thing is that the display, the parade, and the festivities are very Brazilian, and that's how the Brazilians express themselves. So it really, the two cultures really meshed, and it was just a phenomenal mixing of the cultures, with all the richness of Brazil and the African connection with the Orishas and the ancestry were all very vivid and present in the display of the parade. And so for us, it was just accumulation of a great spiritual, cultural extravaganza of display of who we were as people of the world. And so, those was what I was left with, yeah.
Yeah, and then the statement, the declaration statement that came out of that experience, I am complete on who I know myself to be, I declare that was perfect, because you know, the history of who we are as a people, you know, everything of the past lends to where we are now, and we're not that. And the whole conversation of transformation is, you know, taking everything that you've been and all of your experiences that you were and have it go through this metamorphosis and come out as something else. And the statement that I declare that, and it was a blank, like you got to choose, or I get to choose who or what I'm declaring myself to be in this moment. So, you know, I can come out of that metamorphosis as a butterfly. You know, I can come out of that metamorphosis as, you know, some other thing or some other experience. You know, just being in that space really lent itself to see, you know, how we've been changing. You know, how we've been, how history has shaped us, I'll put it that way. You know, how the experience of our culture has shaped us, how the language has shaped us, just all of that together, you know, and the fact that you can look at all of it, see what it brings to who, you know, I am now, and then speak into who I want to be moving forward. And I found that it was very different for people from the Americas and people from Brazil. That was the other thing that was really interesting for me.
Yeah, one more thing I just wanted to add is that when we were doing the pre-work, when we, the recon team that went down early, when we actually led an event the Sunday before the annual event, a week before, one of the things that the Brazilians were shocked at was that we, as Americans, would out of our pocket pay money to come down to Brazil to be with the Brazilians and to gift them with the technology of the International Black Summit. And at first, they couldn't get that why we would do that. Like, they kept searching for a hidden agenda. And when they found none, they were in awe. And we, that was the first time that we really got how clear it was that we were being purely a contribution, and they began to receive us differently out of that.
Mm-hmm. I remember the young man. He was initially, he wasn't a translator, or he wasn't slotted to be a translator. But out of his experience of the youth summit, he stepped up and started translating at the front of the room. And just to share with our listeners how intense a situation is, we start, you know, around 9 in the morning and go into the evening. You know, it could be as late as 8 or 9 p.m. for this particular summit. And to translate for that length of time, I don't know if anyone out there translates, to translate for an hour is tiring.
No, it's grueling. It's grueling. It's really grueling work, because you're struggling with both languages and being able to communicate the thought graphically in both languages simultaneously.
Exactly. And for this young man to, not only did he step up to translate in front of the room for the larger group, after it was over, he declared himself a facilitator. So, you know, he totally got the declaration that year that, you know, whoever he was being before, after the summit was over, he declared himself a facilitator of the conversation of the International Black Summit for the youth. And I just thought, wow, this is powerful. And he went even a step further. He organized a group of young people, you know, when the next meeting was going to be, how to carry on the conversation after, you know, the International Black Summit left. It was just amazing. It was really a powerful moment, and one of many moments that I remember from Brazil that I was sharing with Glenn offline, that Brazil was probably one of my favorite summits. You know, in the room, out of the room. It was the first time for me us dealing with international currency. And at the time I was on the coordinating committee in the accountability for finance. So going to the bank with, all this Brazilian currency translated between American currency, it was just amazing. You know, the money, the language, the music, the history, the culture. Brazil is just a beautiful, beautiful place. And I think the International Black Summit is richer for having been able to go there, and that the seed that was planted there in terms of the conversation of people getting who they can be in the community, it's powerful. Powerful. So I think it was a win-win for everyone.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah. So the switchboard actually is open. I have it up. And I would just like to remind our listeners that you're listening to the International Black Summit Talk Show, and we are doing our count up for Toronto which was 2002, Brazil, which was 2003, and Ghana. So if you're listening out there and you have a comment, if you actually attended one of those summits and have something you'd like to share, you can reach us at 646-716-9827. Again, that number is 646-716-9827. And if you'd like to make a comment, press 1 on your keyboard, and that will let us know that you have a question or a comment. We have someone at 312-593. Do you have a question or a comment?
No, I'm just listening in.
Thank you. Thank you. That sounds like another one of our hosts, Miss Henrietta Bird, if I'm not mistaken. And we also have Mr. Jerry Thomas in the Oxygen Room. So I just want to welcome them to tonight's show. And I want to welcome you to tonight's show. The other place that we went during this time frame was Canada and Ghana. And one of the things that I remember about Canada for myself personally, it was the first time that I led a prerequisite course, which now we have renamed the VisionWorks course, an introduction to the summit. And it's the space where people get the language of the summit, and also it's the space where people are prepared to come into the room, because there are a lot of different tools and distinctions that we use in the summit, and that course prepares people, and it gets people in tune with, you know, what their vision is, you know, what they are personally bringing to the conversation, and how to engage or how to interact once they get into the room. And the other thing I remember about Canada was feeling like a VIP. In fact, all of the international summits, I felt like a very important person. We had our Thursday night event in the Prime Minister's office, which is like a major deal with all of the dignitaries, and it was just pretty phenomenal. We have a saying that no matter where you are, you're having your summit. And again, I was on the coordinating committee for this event, so I spent a lot of time outside of the main room handling the business of the summit. And I really was present to the importance of every accountability, like from the people who register people when they first come in, like your first interaction is the beginning of engaging with the conversation, and how I as an individual create myself or define myself, you know. Being outside of the room was a different experience. And I got being responsible for the currency is important. Being responsible for greeting is important. Being responsible for preparing people to go into the room, you know, all of those things are important. And at the Canadian summit, that was actually the last question that we had in a while. And the question was, what is available in noticing all that I create that keeps me unconscious to the wonder that I am? I'll say that one more time. What is available in noticing all that I create that keeps me unconscious to the wonder that I am? And that particular summit was the beginning of really for me, noticing my power and my energy as a facilitator, and you know, in facilitating my life, and also in assisting other people inside of the facilitation process. And we're going to get to Ghana in a minute, but I assert that Canada was the beginning of that.
Yeah, I also want to say that Canada, there was something about the work that we were doing that really infused vision at that Toronto annual event. And as a result of that inclusion, the work that we do in the prerequisite is not only just preparing us to be part of the event, but really establishes us as a standalone event that actually can provide and deliver transformation to people around the planet. And the inclusion of the vision work is really the opening up of people to themselves. So it's not about my vision, but it's about my vision that I see for myself, and you seeing for yourself, and the next person seeing for themselves. And the I experience a woman in the room that actually her energy shifted when she got her vision. And, you know, there are moments in time when you see things and you see people physically change, and this woman experienced, when she got what her vision is and the power of her vision and really her purpose for being here in the world, her body transformed itself immediately. And this is the kinds of experiences that actually occur in the summit space. So people get to discover themselves and find themselves and to expand themselves.
That's pretty cool and very well said, because it's difficult to really describe what goes on in the room. You know, like we engage in the question, and I assert that after all of the inquiry and all of the discussion and everything, what you said is so right on, Glenn, that people, one, they get their visions, two, they get themselves, and three, they're different. You know, there's a difference or there's a bonding that occurs that is just very unique, I would assert, to the summit space. Very unique to the summit space, and it's just the most beautiful thing. It really is the most beautiful thing. And I'm looking at Ghana as well, because Ghana, there was so much going on. That was in 2004, and we went to Elmina Beach, Ghana. We had things come up from leaving the states, because I believe the Republican convention was going on on the East Coast. It was just completing, and I assert that was one of the reasons why they tightened up the security. But Ghana Airlines, which was the airlines we were supposed to fly on, got shut down by the FCC. And it was something really simple, like I think they needed to fix their doors. There wasn't a lock between the main cabin and the cockpit, so none of those airplanes could fly. And we had people coming from places into New York as a hub, and also a group of people coming from places into D.C., into Washington, D.C., and the New York people got there first, part of that team. And when they shared with us, you know, we're not going to be able to go, Ghana, because Ghana Airlines is, in essence, defunct in this moment. I really got the power of intention, creation, and facilitation. And I started engaging with the people at the airlines about what it would take for a group of our facilitators to get there on time, because the summit was supposed to start at a particular time, you know. So I said, well, at a minimum, this group of people needed to get to Ghana on time and be in this location. They were like, nobody is flying. And so we started engaging in conversation. And what I didn't know at the time was I took on that accountability in New York, and I had another counterpart who was doing the exact same thing in Washington, D.C. And what's interesting is it was none other than Shakesha, our other talk show host. She was doing the same thing in D.C. that I was doing in New York. And as a result of the conversation, not only did the facilitator, the what we called at that time our senior facilitators, they were put on a plane, they got there on time to facilitate the event, they transferred our group to we actually ended up meeting up with the Washington, D.C. group to put us on another plane so that we could go. And there were people, there were Africans, people who were African nationalists, because they were saying only people who from Africa who were going home could fly. Like they were only going to accommodate those people. And I was astounded that our entire group, however many people that was, we were going to Ghana. It was also my mom's first summit, so I had my family with me. My mom was with me. My new husband was with me. And, you know, I was a stand that we were all going to go. And that wasn't all of our people. I mean, that was just my family. There were lots of other people from the States and who had flown into the States as part of our group to go. So I would say our group alone could probably fill most of the plane on this particular date. So we, you know, we really got into something that we call enfoldment, you know, and just enfolding the airlines and accommodating us to get to Ghana, even though we weren't African, what they were calling nationalists, people who were from there. And the other thing that I saw in that moment is something that we call alignment, you know, like, we were in different locations, but everyone, I assert, was aligned that we were going to Ghana, was holding that intention, and that was shifting the space so that things just kept lining up in our favor. And the Africans said, we want to go with that group because they are getting on this plane. Like, our intention, and my personal intention was so strong and so definitive. Like, it wasn't even a question to me that we weren't going and that we weren't getting on the plane. And everybody did, in fact, end up, you know, being transported, I believe it was through, what, World Airways to Ghana. And it was remarkable. It was really remarkable. And we got an extended vacation paid by the airlines. They put us up. They fed us in New York City. I think it was for five or six days initially, while all of this stuff was kind of playing itself out before we even ended up at the airport, because that was like we were getting to our point where, wow, we have to go. Like, we have to go to be there on time, because the other time was playtime. You know, that was I call it the personal playtime, but I thought it was awesome just be totally taken care of in that space inside of intention. And so, you know, you start with Toronto, what is available, and noticing all that I create that keeps me unconscious to the wonder that I am. And in the moment, wasn't even thinking about, this is impossible. But those people would have got on the plane and went back home. And for the people who didn't make it to New York, there were some people who did that. They turned around and said, oh, Ghana Airlines went defunct, you know, trips over. Then we got to Brazil. I am complete on who I know myself to be. I declare that. In Ghana, I am complete on who I know myself to be. I declare that I am enough. And we hadn't gotten to this point before we got to Ghana, but this was like leading up to Ghana. But in the moment of talking to the airline officials, you know, I knew that it was enough just to have the conversation to get us on the plane. It was amazing.
Yeah, that really speaks to the power and intentionality of the International Black Summit, the power and intentionality of the individuals who attend the International Black Summit, and it speaks to the rippling effect of the people when they get back to the community and the effect that that those individuals have in their communities. So, I mean, when you look at it, it's the community and the world that's being impacted through the individuals. One of the things we haven't talked about is that the summit event is an individual event. So it's a personalized, it is for you to discover your power, your vision, your capabilities, and to really use the work that we do at the International Black Summit to forward the projects that you're working on and the people that you touch and to really impact your family and your community members. So I invite you to consider coming to Baltimore, Maryland, to get yourself a taste of what this International Black Summit conversation is about, because I promise you, 10 people in the room, each person has their own powerful interaction that they come away from that event with. And it's very personal, and it's very powerful, and it's very empowering for that individual. So that's what we're talking about. That's who the International Black Summit is, and their commitment is to have you be transformed out of the event.
Mm-hmm. And the transformation is into whatever you're choosing to be, you know, like whatever your vision is for yourself, whatever your vision is for your community, the opportunity is there to have that really be a reality for yourself, you know, and for your community, and really to get your power, you know, to get the power in your life, to get the power in your life. We had the Thursday night events are just kind of blow away. They blow me away. And Ghana was no different. We were at the castle. And this is the castle where the slave boats put all of the Africans in these rooms and held them there until it was time to get on the boats, you know, get on the boats to come to the Americans. They get on the boats like they were going on a trip. Oh, wow. but before the transport, and we had an opportunity to experience that. And there was something in that experience alone that was transforming, you know, to think about the numbers of people and the space that they were in. And we actually went through the passage that leads down to where, you know, you have to go through to get to the ships, and it gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and then you go through this small opening. And then there are all these rocks that lead out to the water, to the beach. And I keep coming back to this because transformation really is all, you know, it's all you, but you get broken down. You can't have transformation, or what I got, I can't have transformation until I am broken down, you know. My consistency changes. Just everything was broken down and put back together in a different way, you know, to express differently. And what I get out of the summit is I get to choose that. So, you know, the beginnings are from this really beautiful place in Ghana, Africa, where we were on the beach, the water, just beautiful, just like Brazil. You know, Africa's beautiful, Brazil is beautiful. You know, it's just this beautiful place. That's all I can say. The energy of it is just very beautiful. And to be put into a space where there is no choice but to transform. You know, there is no, you know, to come out of it alive, the person who, I can only imagine the people who went into the castle were not the people who came out of the castle and got on the ship. Because the experience just in, you know, walking through it for me seemed horrific. You know, it was just very, very horrific. And then to come out of that space and to go into the conversation of the summit, what I remember most about Ghana is the children. The host, who was a Ghanaian, got a whole school, and they brought them in by bus of school children. And at the breaks, the children would go out onto the beach and play, you know, and just the freedom and the energy. And again, you know, the music and the innocence of, you know, these different experiences, all of that. And then on top of that, you know, we're talking about who am I being in the world such that, you know, these children can have education, you know, the children can travel to the United States, or we can travel to Africa. Just so much happens inside of the space that breaks, you know, kind of breaks things down, and then it comes out as something different. And with each event, you know, that transforming space within me gets stronger and stronger. It's pretty incredible.
Clara, let me just underline for our listeners something that you said that is very, very powerful that I don't want to lose. Transformation really is you taking yourself, breaking it down to its most fundamental elements, and then you get to redesign yourself and put yourself back together consistent with that new design, new intention, new energy, new direction that you want to capitalize on. And so you put yourself back together with that intention, so that you're really streamlining your conversation, your life experiences, such that they're pointed in a focused direction. And you know, for me, that really is an example of the possibility that's available through reinventing yourself by putting yourself together. Back together in a different way. So I just want to thank you for that analogy, and I just wanted to underline the emphasis of it, because it is a great analogy. Back to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I like the way you said that. And if the summit is anything, it is definitely about seeing the possibility of reinventing yourself. You know, such that you can have the life that you want, you know, such that you can impact your community, and such that the world is impacted. We're down to our last 6 minutes here, and the international tour, wow, the summit has been a lot of places, and the conversation goes where the participants take it, or I'll even say where life takes us. You know, we've been to places where no one who's ever done the summit or heard of the summit has been there before, but something led us to that place. And I think that the impact that the summit conversation has on the participants in the various locations that we've been is a conversation, you know, it's an experience that people remember for a long, long time. And something also said at the beginning of the show, the relationships that you develop inside of the summit are life-lasting relationships. You know, it's really a place where you can authentically be, say, and experience yourself. You know, it's a place where, let me speak from my eye, it's a place where I can really be, say, do, and experience myself fully and really get the possibility that of all the things that I really am creating, you know, inside of my vision. So I love the summit. Yeah. Glenn, is there anything else about any of the three locations that you remember or that you want to share or about the various declarations or statements?
Not specifically, but the thing that I want to let people know and lead people with is that each time I engage in any declaration or inquiry that the summit has provided me, I've used that to expand the work that I do as a professional, the relationship that I have been expanded, and the other part about it is having fun with the other, you know, people of African descent that are there, that are participating, that are engaging in the same conversations, that are willing to rock their communities and to expand the conversation and the thinking of our community. You know, it's a pleasure to be there, to work with them, and I get a lot of personal gratification in addition. So it's not always all about them, but that's another aspect of the whole process that helps to really make the experience, you know, incredible.
Awesome. So I'd just like to invite our listeners, if you've enjoyed the conversations today on the network, consider attending our annual event. It's the time when, you know, folks from around the world gather to share their lives, to tune up their listening to what life is really giving, and to engage in the process of expressing or of transforming who they are in the world. The 2010 annual event, consider this your personal invitation. It's the first weekend in August in Baltimore, Maryland. If you want more information about this event, become a member of our community, go to our website, www.blacksummit.org. You can come back next week. We'll be talking about the next three locations, which are London, Anguilla, and, oh, no, Detroit, Jamaica, and Chicago. And we'll be here again at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, as part of our 20 years, our host team is producing the commemorative booklet. So if you'd like to place your ad, go to our website, share your testimony, or you can advertise your business. Talk show is also going premium, so if you'd like to pledge a financial contribution, you can send us an email to ibstalkshow@gmail.com. I want to thank all the IBS Talk Show team members and everyone who listened, chatted online, or called in to share tonight. If you have any comments about a show, you can go to the website and post it. You can listen to this show or any other show 24/7 online at the website, blacksummit.org. Download it to your computer, your iPod, listen to it later. Share it with your family and friends. If you want to continue tonight's conversation, you can join us in the Oxygen Room. And that number is 218. Help me out.
Hold on a second. You got it?
218-862-6420. Code is 797-4834-pound. And my name's Clara Lyons Devon, and I've been with you tonight with Mr. Glenn Greenwich and Mr. Jerry Thomas. It's been a little quiet tonight, but he's here with us. And I invite you to show up powerfully in your life and share the special gift that God gave only to you. We'll see you in Baltimore. Take care.
Peace out.